From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Hearings get underway in the Senate Judiciary Committee for Elena Kagan today. She's President Obama's pick to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. NPR's David Wellner has more on what's expected. Kagan is currently Solicitor General, supervising government litigation before the High Court, and she's a former Harvard Law School dean.
Elena Kagan's met with more than 60 senators and every member of the Judiciary Committee. Still, the panel's top Republican, Jeff Sessions, has misgivings about approving her lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court.
I think we need to know the nominee understands that she would have to serve under the Constitution, that they're not above it, and they don't get to remake it or rewrite it.
Republicans fault Kagan for never having been a judge. They also say she's too political. But California Democrat and Judiciary Committee member Dianne Feinstein is not worried about the confirmation hearing.
No one ever knows everything that's going to come up, so. But I would anticipate it would be relatively uneventful.
Democrats outnumber Republicans on the committee 12-7. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
President Obama is discounting Republican criticisms of his Supreme Court nominee.
As I examine some of the arguments that have been floated against her nomination over the last several weeks, it's pretty thin gruel.
The White House says Kagan's lack of judicial experience doesn't matter. Aides have pointed out that the late Chief Justice William Rehnquist had never served as a judge before he joined the Supreme Court. The court wraps up its term today, and NPR's Cheryl Corley reports gun advocates and opponents await a ruling on a Chicago handgun ban. It's been in effect for 28 years, and a recent high court ruling invalidated a ban in another city, Washington, D.C.
2 years ago, the high court invalidated a handgun ban in Washington, D.C. after the justices ruled that the right to bear arms is an individual right. That ruling applied to federal law since D.C. is a federal entity. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, one of the nation's most vocal gun control advocates, says his efforts aren't over if the court invalidates the city's ban.
We will always find new ways to keep guns off our streets, out of the hands of gang drug thugs who are trying to intimidate and destroy the way of life in all of our communities.
If the ban is overturned, Chicago is likely to follow the steps of Washington, D.C. and set up restrictions to make it tough to buy guns. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Consumers are spending more, but not much. The Commerce Department's new figures show an increase of just 0.2% in May from April, and there was no change in April from March. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down on that news about 40 points at 10,104 at last check, the NASDAQ Composite down 12. Flags are at half-staff today at the White House in the U.S. Capitol as Washington mourns the late Senator Robert Byrd, who has died. This is NPR News. Two new studies add to the mounting evidence that the diabetes drug Avandia carries a higher risk of heart attacks, strokes, and death. Here's NPR's Richard Knox with a summary of the evidence so far.
Many doctors have stopped prescribing Avandia because of earlier links to cardiovascular problems, but several hundred thousand diabetics still use it. One new analysis in the Archives of Internal Medicine concludes patients taking Avandia have up to a 39% higher risk of heart attack compared to those on other drugs. Another study in the Journal of the American Medical Association was led by David Graham of the FDA. He says there's one serious side effect for every 60 Medicare patients on Avandia.
What that means is that 48,000 elderly Americans probably experienced heart attack, stroke, heart failure, or death due to Avandia.
That's over the 11 years that Avandia has been available. The FDA is considering whether Avandia should be taken off the market. Richard Knox, NPR News.
Forecasters say people in the U.S. need to monitor Tropical Storm Alex, even though right now it's drenching parts of Latin America. Here's Stacy Stewart of the National Hurricane Center.
It's very difficult to say exactly where Alex will make landfall. That could be anywhere from northeastern Mexico up along the southern and central Texas coast. So we don't want people in the United States to think that there's no threat for them. There certainly could be in 3 or 4 days.
His colleague Tom Kimberlane says there's a big chance Alex will strengthen again.
We think that it's going to go on and become a hurricane within 24 hours.
Forecasters expect Alex to produce heavy rains over Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Alex's track is far from the area of the oil spill off Louisiana's coast. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.